keep going on. We're in kind of a longer series on the power of God, okay, and watching it and seeing it manifest in our lives and watching and understanding why it happens in our life. What does God use all these things for? It kind of began a few weeks back. I shared a little bit about when I was reading through the Word, God kept jumping these scriptures off the page at me about how that they would go and these miracles would happen, and then it would say, and the Word of God increased. Okay, or these miracles would happen, and then it would say, and 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. You know, and it was always right after God had done some miracle through one of his people. And so I began looking at some of the things, the powerful things that God does, and why it happens, and kind of the things behind it. Well, it led up. We talked about increase the last couple of weeks, and then this week we're going to look at fighting, of all things. I think this one, on the screen I put it, fighting for faith. Okay, and in my little note, it just says the power to fight, because we're talking about our powerful God and how he has given us a power to fight for our faith. Okay, it all kind of ties in together. I told Elijah, he was asked, what's the title this week? And I said, I don't remember, because it could have so many different ones, but it all has to do with the power of God and fighting and faith. So that's kind of where we're at with that. But let's start with some prayers we get going this morning. Father, we are yielded vessels to you. Father, we want to see you glorified in this planet that we live in, Lord. We want to see you manifest and see you exalted. We want more people to know you, to experience you, to have a touch from heaven, to understand what heaven on earth is really about, to understand the life that you have brought us into now in our salvation through Christ, Father, and through grace, what we can and now experience. And Father, today I pray that you help us with understanding the fight that we're in, to fight for our faith, to stand for what we believe in you and understand and know about you and to experience it more and more as we leave this place today, Lord. Let your faith rise up within our hearts today, Lord. Let us be encouraged. Let us believe. Let us stand on what you have done and what you have said and what you have given, and to take that and apply it to our life in a way that allows us to walk in victory, to walk in your blessing, your favor, your anointing, in such a powerful way that you get the glory. Father, we are praising you for these things, and we say it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I was telling somebody before the church, with all these young people, and knowing that Crystal is in there with the kids, she's going to sing songs and get them wound up here. So I'm going to be competing with that. And then I said, but that's a good problem to have, right? Amen. Amen. I will compete with the loud children's church any day.
Mommy, you better let her win.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah. Amen. So this last week, and one of my devotional studies, I do my own personal devotion every day. And one of the devotions I was doing was addressing how to walk in the perfect will of God for your life. Okay, and that to me is very appealing. I want to be in the will of God. I don't want to step out of it to the right or to the left. I want to be in the will of God. Well, one of the exhortations in it that kind of stood out to me was that one of the things that keeps you from hearing the perfect will of God is being too fully immersed in the secular world. Okay, and by secular, I just mean the lost, the non-saved, the unsaved world. Okay, when you're surrounded day in and day out with a godless, worldly environment. Okay, does anybody know what I mean, godless? I mean, there's just people that live, they don't think about God one tiny bit in their day. They'll go through the entire day and not give him any credit or any acknowledgement. Okay, if we have an environment like that where we're surrounded in it day in and day out, okay, in this godless, a worldly society, a worldly environment, it is going to downplay the necessity and the ability of the Holy Spirit in our life. Okay, why do you need the Holy Spirit? It begins to downplay that. It kind of squelches that. You've read a scripture, it talks about don't quench the Spirit. Okay. And it's part of this where if we're surrounded by things that are not of God all day long, I'm not saying we don't go to jobs and work and do stuff, but I'm saying if that's our sole source of life that comes at us every day, all day, it is going to begin to affect us. Okay, things like too many secular friendships and alliances. Okay, and by alliances, I mean we're into business, so to speak, with the lost world. okay? Or maybe too much information that comes into our life is coming from sources that are devoid of any sort of godly perspective, okay? And over time, that can begin to make hearing God's will more and more difficult, okay? Because we're listening. I don't know how many of you guys are podcast people. I mean, it's our thing today. So many young people in my family as well, we have certain podcasters we like to listen to, and some of them, you know, I like the Christian guys myself, but there are some that are, they're a little more secular. There's one guy, he's a Jewish guy, he's really popular, okay? And he will talk about God to a certain extent, but he doesn't have the same faith that I do as far as Christ and the Holy Spirit and some of those things. But if you listen to that stuff over and over again, after a while, it can get to feeling pretty heavy. You start feeling the weight, like there's no hope, okay? It just kind of quenches, like the whole world's gone to pot and it's all bad, right? And by pot, I don't mean just bad. It's going to pot, right? But you start feeling like things are getting out of hand, and you begin to lose hope. Okay, well, if we're immersed in that for too long, too much, these things cause you to slowly be conformed to the ways of the unbelieving world, okay, which we know live without any sort of faith in our Almighty God, okay, our powerful God that we're talking about today. Okay, the God that we serve is supernatural. I mean, he is miraculous, parting seas, raising people from the dead, that kind of a God. Okay, the same God that was then is the same God that's now. The same God that worked in Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Smith Wigglesworth and some of these great men of faith, the Hagans and Roberts, others. That same God is alive and well today and working in and through his people. Okay, so if we lose sight of that and we just are listening to stuff all day that says that stuff is gone, that we don't need this, or just not mentioning it, okay, all day long, every day, and we begin to immerse ourselves in that, we're going to find out that the world that lives without faith is living without faith. Okay, there is no faith in that. Okay, you have to realize that you are in a constant battle for your faith and eternal life. Okay, the thought that you just get saved and then you live your life any way you want to, or you get saved, give your life to Christ. I did that when I was 8 years old, whatever the deal was. And we give our life to him, and then you just immerse yourself in a regular world and live like everybody else. That is a lie. That is not the truth. Okay, you gotta fight for your faith. Okay, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the devil saw that as a declaration of war. Okay, he saw that as, oh, another one, another on the enemy's side. Okay, he sees you as his absolute enemy. He hates you with a passion. Okay, when you were lost and didn't know Jesus, he was okay with that. Guess what? He gets you in the end, right? But as soon as you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he now says, now that guy is a target. That lady I'm going to go after. Okay, and so he is cunningly devising strategies and attacks, okay, to either cripple your faith to the point you're easily overtaken and he can capture you, okay, or he would like to seek to take you out of the picture altogether, right? Just eliminate you so that you're not in the game anymore. Okay, that's what happens when Christians lose faith and they begin losing it little by little, and the devil is doing this cunningly devised scheme against them just to beat them down little by little until they begin to lose faith, lose hope. It's not about God. And pretty soon they get to that point where, what's the point? And they throw in the towel and they walk away from God. Okay, it's happening in the body of Christ at an alarming rate where people are losing faith in God. See, not only will conforming to the lost world and not walking by faith, not only will that hinder your communication with God, okay, limiting that ability to hear what the perfect will of God is for your life, but it's going to keep you from walking in the power of God. Okay, faithless Christianity is powerless Christianity. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Faithless Christianity, living a life where you do not have to live by faith, you're not stepping out in faith, you're not doing anything by faith, you're not believing in God, you're not praying to him about things. Faithless Christianity is powerless Christianity. Okay, you are not impacting, you're going the wrong way. Okay, in other words, another way to say that is no faith equals no power. Okay, there is power in faith. Okay, it's a launching tool. When you get into walking with God and you understand what living by faith really means, that you're stepping into the unknown and you're okay with that. Okay, it's stepping into the unknown, believing that God has got my back. It's launching out. Okay, you are in this world, okay, but you're not of this world. The scripture tells us that. Okay, there is something supernatural, okay, above what your brain can even comprehend about the Christian believer that ensures that the ability to know and to say and to do things that are beyond comprehension of the human mind is within you. Okay, that is of the Christian. Somebody say amen. My wife said amen. Okay, there is something inside of you that is bigger than, I mean, it's hard to comprehend. God will reveal some things to you. He'll show you, okay, as much as you can handle. Okay, if you believe that God can do anything, God will begin showing you anything, right? He'll begin to show you more than you've seen. Okay, let's look at some scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. We'll just read a couple verses here. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. We're given some pretty good instructions here about the world that we live in. Okay, we don't want to conform to that world that doesn't believe in God. Okay, and that's what's happening in the body of Christ. People are saying, you know, let's just go along with the way of the world. And here they are in this godless society. My wife and family and I got to travel a little bit this week and spend a few days in a different state. And as we got in some places and I was just, you know, it's always hard for a pastor to get away. You get out of your routine and studying and all that stuff anyway. But I go and I feel the spiritual atmosphere and I sense what is going on around me. And we walk around and, you know, you people watch, you do all that stuff you do. I picked up on this godlessness that it was like we were at one point saying, is there any other Christians in this entire city that we were in? It was that bad. And my son said, Dad, I saw one Christian fish symbol on one car, so there's at least one other one, right? But we hadn't seen any churches. Okay, and then we drive around and here's some of the mainline denominational, the big stone buildings that had been there for 200 years. We did see a couple of those, and eventually on the last leg, we're leaving town, somebody else was driving, I think my wife was driving, and so I got to look around a little bit more, and I saw off in the distance the Christian Center. You know, it was the big church where I suppose many of the Christians that were did go. So there was Christians there, but it was hard to see that. It felt godless in that environment. Okay, well, let's look at the scripture. 1 John chapter 2, 15 says, to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay, now, wrap your brain around it from this angle, because aren't we supposed to love people? I mean, and people are in the world, so how can that be? It says to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Okay, love not the godlessness of the world. Okay, we don't love sin. Okay, we love people. We care about people. We want to help them. We share with them. We bless them. We do what we can, but we are not going to love the system, okay, that is drawing people away. The love of money or the pride of life or the lust of the flesh. Okay, we're not going to love that part of the world. That's what it's telling us not to love. Your goal is not to conform to the world, but to conform to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, to be more like Him. It's called being Christ-like, right? It's called being in the kingdom, so you live like you're in the kingdom. Let's look at a couple more scriptures in Romans. First one, Romans chapter 8. Kind of describes us who we are made in the image of. Romans 8:29 says this, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, capital S, that's Jesus, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, we are to be conformed into the image of Christ because he's like the firstborn of God. He's the Son of God, and we're being now part of that family. He's the firstborn of our family. He's like the older brother leading the way, right? Okay, we want to be conformed into his image. He did it right. He's doing it right. Okay, so we want to live like Christ. Okay, another one in Romans. It's in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Okay, many of you that are Bible scholars are waiting for me to get to this one when it talks about being not conformed to this world, right? Okay, in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, the lost world around us, if you haven't figured it out, is bombarding people. Okay, that's what it's all about. Media, TV, online, everywhere is about bombarding people. Okay, how many people ever, I don't know if anybody does Facebook anymore, but sometimes you'll look up something on Google, let's say, and then you get in Facebook and lo and behold, here's all these ads about it, the same kinds of things, and oh, I was looking at cars or something, and so now I get four dealerships and all their ads. I'm bombarded with it. That's the way the world is functioning right now in every capacity of our lives. They're trying to find, how can I get my product in front of this person? How can I get them to spend their money in my company? How can I get their devotion or their commitment? Whatever it is, it's all this bombardment. Okay, the lost world around you is seeking to captivate your mind. Okay, to cloud it up. Okay, to make it hard to see the kingdom of God at work. To make it so that everything has a natural explanation. Okay, everything is explainable. Okay, they want to clutter it up with distractions and keep you occupied with attempting secular, faithless responses to life. Does that make sense? Secular, faithless responses to life. Okay? Something comes up, I have a need. Rather than run to my Father, I want to run to the world because that's what's right in front of me. Okay? That's the way of the world. It's bombarding us with stuff to clutter us, to keep us focused on secular responses. How do I handle this? Oh, let me Google it. Let me find that. Oh, here's what this, you know, home remedy is. You know, and we go to that stuff and we find out home remedies and, oh, I got to buy this now and buy that. So now you're looking at different companies and looking up their stuff. And next thing you know, you're getting ads from that. And now you're joining that company or buying into it. And it's this bombardment all the time trying to get you to handle life with a faithless response. There's no faith in that. Okay, you can't apply faith, not saying don't go to doctors, don't take supplements, don't do that stuff. But rather than responding in a faithless way, we as believers can and should seek and pursue manifestations of God's power to be accomplished through a life, which happens through prayer. Okay, even meditating on God, we can receive instruction from Him on the next thing to do. Okay, literally, at times we may need to, and I'm going to get to this in a moment, we will speak to our circumstance in the name of Jesus and see things change. Okay, that to me is a faith response to something that's going on in my life. No longer is it, I hope this and this, I hope, you know, the doctors know what they're doing. No, it's Margie, let's pray. We got to pray and enlist the power of God on this. We need to see God manifest and do something, or we're done, or this situation is going to get worse. See, you have a power that resides within you to accomplish, to overcome, to be victorious in this life. You have a power inside of you. Okay, 1 John again, chapter 4 this time. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. See where your power comes from. We should know, but I'm going to remind you. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 3, says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Okay, not everything out there is good for you. Everybody got that? There's some Antichrist out there. Okay, in verse 4 it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, so who is in you? Christ, your Savior, God, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, literal dwelling place of God himself. Okay, now you could say, well, that verse says that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, but do we have Jesus living in us, or is it God living in us? Let me explain that, okay, just so you understand this. If you invite Gary over to your house, you invite me over to your house, is it Gary the Father that comes to your house? Because I got boys. Is it Gary the Son that comes to your house? Because I have a dad. Or is it Gary the husband that comes to your house? Because I'm married. Who came into your house? All of me, right? Gary came into your house. Okay, so when we receive God, we are receiving God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the power of God to live and dwell and reside within us. Okay, that is a power that is magnificent. Think of what it did, what it does. Okay, we've got so many babies in the church, and I love that because it's such a manifestation of God's presence and in his power. How can anybody do that? You know, they can't. It's God that forms that baby in a womb. Jesus lives in you. 1 John chapter 15. No, let's not do first. Let's just do John chapter 15 this time. John chapter 15, starting in verse 4, we'll read through 8. John 15, 4. Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Okay, do you see that? When Jesus and his word lives in you, you are empowered to bring forth much fruit simply by asking for it. Okay, Jesus did not send you into the world without authorizing you to be victorious. He wanted you to be able to live a fulfilled life, walking in the fullness of God, being able to hear and know and understand the things of God. Okay, you are empowered through him, okay, as an ambassador for Christ. Okay, that means a representative of Christ. It means you're going forth to this lost world with the power of Christ within you, okay, to impact, to make a difference. In other words, he saved you to be an extension of himself in this world. Okay, it's like sending him out as his own. Okay, this is a representative of me. Okay, fill in your name in the blank. You are a representative of Christ. Okay, look at John chapter 14. We'll go back a little bit. Jesus said in John 14, 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Do you believe on Jesus? And then it says, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, there it is again, that using your own mouth to ask of God is a key to seeing God and his Son glorified in the earth. God loves you and wants to answer your prayers, wants to bring those things into your life because His Father God gets glory for it. So He said, whatever you ask God in my name, I'm going to give it to you. Because He wants God to get the glory. Okay, in other words, God wants you to pray and believe Him for miracles. He wants you to speak to your circumstances in the name of Jesus and see them change. Because God gets glory from that. Okay, that ability or this ability is a unique privilege of the Christian believer. Okay? There are many religions, many false gods and other stuff out there. None of them have this ability to do. Where you call on the name of Jesus and enlist that power because God is going to get the glory when it comes to pass. It doesn't happen anywhere else. This is God glorifying His name through what He does through you. Okay, and all we have to do is ask, to step out and ask. Okay, in John, now go to chapter 17. Jump ahead a couple more chapters. John 17, 14, Jesus said this. He's talking to His Father. He says, I've given them Thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. Okay? As God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus has now sent you into the world. Okay, with a divine power, a divine protection, authorized to do everything that you need to do, just like Jesus was. Okay, how did Jesus come into the world? Did He come in and you know, was He sent to be conformed to the world and to live a carnal life and to live a powerless, faithless Christian life? Okay, that wouldn't have done anything. Okay, God sent you into the world to live a powerful Christian life. Because it brings glory to God. Jesus walked in the fullness of the power of God by maintaining absolute faith in His Father and His ability to do things in and through Him. He even said at one point, as I hear, I speak. In other words, He was just in tune with God, wanting to share what God wanted the people to see and hear and experience. Okay, in every area of His life, in every possible turn, and especially when He was facing the cross, He says, God, not my will, but yours be done. He wanted God to be able to do what God wanted to do on this earth. He was able to walk in the ability because God was operating in and through him. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers. He cast out demons. Okay, knowing that the authority of God was within him, he spoke to circumstances and they changed. Okay, he spoke to the wind and it calmed down. Okay, he spoke to sickness. He spoke to death and he expected results. Okay, he spoke to spirits and they had to follow his commands. They had to listen to his words and obey. Because God was working through him. Jesus knew things that he had no other way to know than other than God speaking it to him on the inside. Okay? As God has sent Jesus into this world, so has Jesus sent you and I into this world. Jesus spoke truth into people's lives that only God knew. Okay? Because God was operating through him. Jesus faced tragedies and difficult circumstances without fear, okay? But rather he engaged them with confident trust and faith in his Father God. Okay? That's our Father God, okay? That we can confidently have faith and trust in him that he will accomplish these things. You know, the Apostle Paul was one guy that understood what I'm talking about, and he spoke these words to encourage us in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, do you catch that? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Where does your strength come from? It comes from the Lord. We talked about that the first week, about increase comes from God. Okay, and then he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to still be standing. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And watch this now. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, now grasp this last point before we close. This power is within you. How do you release it? How do we get it out? What is it? How do we make a difference in our life? Look at what Jesus says to you in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus says this. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is standing strong in the power of His might. Okay, this is Him saying, I'm giving you a power that is greater than anything the world has. This is Him saying, greater is Me in you than the world out there or anything that is in the world. Okay, the God of this world is not Jesus, it's Satan. Serpents and scorpions in this verse represents the spiritual forces of darkness. It's the spiritual wickedness in high places. It's the principalities and powers. It's all the things that the Apostle Paul had already mentioned. Okay, these are all the things that come against you in an unseen form. Okay, they may speak through people or things that may, circumstances may happen in your life, but they are unseen forces coming against you. And the only way to combat against them and to fight against them is by faith in your God. It is that power that lives in you that we're going to say no to some of these things that are coming at us. Okay, things like depression. Okay, fear, jealousy, sickness, poverty, confusion, bitterness, loneliness. Okay, whatever it is, fill in the blank. What is it that has been coming against you? When Jesus says, behold, I give you power, that power is in your tongue. Okay, Proverbs chapter 18 tells us the power of death and life is in your tongue. Okay, after Jesus spoke to the fig tree, it withers up and it dies, and his disciples are there and they see it and they say, Lord, look what happened to the tree. They're all amazed at it because He spoke and the tree obeyed. What He spoke came to pass. Okay, and they're all amazed at it. So Jesus tells them this. It's in Mark chapter 11, some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. I say that every week, but this is it. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Jesus hears their marveling. And it says, Jesus answers and says unto them, have faith in God. Okay? That's all He did. They're amazed. How did you do that? What happened? He says, have faith in God. That's what I do. Okay? He says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, okay, that's you and me as believers, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, one of the other disciples, Matthew, was there when he heard this scene, you know, this lesson Jesus was giving on having faith in God and praying. And as he recalled that, he remembered Jesus saying, if you just have faith, as little faith as a mustard seed, you can speak unto a mountain and it will obey you. So when Jesus said that you could move mountains with a little bit of faith, he was saying that you could move those mountains with your mouth. Okay? Speak to the things in your life that are hindering you. Speak to the things in your life that are tormenting you. That thing that keeps coming up, man, you think you're getting past it, and all of a sudden, wham, it's right back there. That thing that keeps tripping you, okay? You get going for a while and trip and stumble over it. Speak to that thing in the name of Jesus and say, I bind you in Jesus' name no more. I'm done with you. You have no place in my life. Put it below you, under your feet. Okay, that's where Jesus said Satan is under his heel, right? He's under his feet. The scriptures point that out to us. Okay, you speak to the things that are causing you problems. You tell that depression to go. Get out of my life. I don't want you anymore. I don't need you. I don't want you. And I don't have to have you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get out of my life. Talk to it. Tell those things what to do. And they have to obey you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? That mountain is, it's not so much like we're talking to Elk Mountain out here. These mountains are these things that have risen up in our life that are causing us problems, the confusion that is getting in our brain. Speak to that mountain. Say, confusion, be gone. Clarity, come forth. Okay, call it into your life. What you need, what you have to be able to understand. Lord, I need wisdom. The Word of God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men, give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. The Word says that. We can stand on that. Okay. If you need wisdom, pray for wisdom. You need guidance. You need to know what to do next. Pray and believe God will move on your behalf. Okay. Start speaking to some of the things that are in your life. Okay. Call forth that what you need. Push out what you don't need. Speak with faith over your life and your situations. Speak with authority and move those mountains out of your way. Okay, this is how you fight the good fight of faith. Okay, you keep your faith in God and you pray fervently and you believe to see things change. Okay, stand in faith. Do not let the devil rob you of your faith. Don't let him beat you down and make it seem like it's not enough. It doesn't take much. Okay, it just a little bit of faith can move that mountain out of your way. Okay, stand on it. Father God, we're speaking to you this morning. We give you the praise. Father, it's your word. I'm just reading and sharing it, Father. It's you that has given us this ability to be able to speak into the spiritual realm, to be able to resist the devil, to be able to stand up against what he tries to throw at us. And Father, today we yield ourselves as vessels of the Almighty God to go forth from here as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, walking in your authority and power, allowing you to speak, to live, to do right through us. Father, we are yielded to you. We speak it and declare it, Father, that we are yielded vessels to you and your Holy Spirit. Have your way, Lord. Lead, guide, show, command, do what you need to do through us, Lord. We are your vessels. We are in you and you are in us. Father, we do bring forth fruit because of you in us, and you get the glory. Father, we praise you for these things. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen. Amen.